Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another week of the Ninth Seed Sports Show Lacrosse Edition. My name is Joe Marcellina. Joining me once again, Derryfield AD and boys lacrosse coach Chris Hetler. Chris, how you doing today?
I was doing a lot better until this storm came.
I bet you're really wishing you were back in Florida right now.
I am wishing we were back in Florida, yeah. But we got through it. I don't think anybody's gonna be practicing tomorrow. We'll see. We'll hopefully get back out there on Friday. We got opening week next week.
Listening to all these weather reports, looking at the forecast, I feel like they're saying, oh yeah, it's a Wednesday Thursday thing, but. This looks like it's going through till Saturday, maybe even, I mean, Sunday now looks like it's going to be at least colder than
it does. We'll do our weather segment now. It's going to sit there off the coast and just spin around. And I think we'll be practicing, but I think everybody's going to be, you better bring your rain gear and you better bring your cold gear because it's going to be some tough practices. Grit days the next couple
a lot practices. That's good for me. I guess it's good for me then that I have no place to go because then I can stay in and work on these previews. Been getting a lot of great responses from coaches. I don't know if you saw earlier in the week I posted something, mentioned something like there were 30% of coaches I hadn't heard from. I'd say half of that 30% then got back to me after that. We're probably operating at somewhere about 80% of the coaches in the state have gotten back to
emails I sent out
this week. Fantastic. Great news. The flip side of that is I now have 80% coach emails from 80% of the coaches to go through. So appreciate it from everybody. Thank you very much. If you don't hear from me for a few days, that's why. Anyway, you can always share your feedback and thoughts on the show with us by sending an email to nhhighschoolsports@gmail.com. or by connecting on social media. You can follow the site on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at NHHS Sports. New boys lacrosse shows will be posted every Thursday morning throughout the year. And you can also listen to them going to nh-highschoolsports.com or by searching for Ninth State Sports Show on Spotify or Odyssey. And as we said last week, you can now listen to the podcast on the radio. The folks at Manchester Public Television are going to start to air the show each week on their station, WMNH 95.3. And we do have times for that now. I think these are going to be regular, pretty much regular, or at least for this week. You can listen Fridays at 5 p.m., Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at noon. So three opportunities if you happen to be out and about and can't, get access to the podcast, you can throw on the radio in the Manchester area and give it a listen. Really thankful for them doing this and pretty exciting. And I'm excited that we're going to make you into a radio star.
It's like you said last week, it's like we kind of went it the backwards way of doing it. But, and it's going to be a lot of fun and excited that we might get an even bigger audience.
Absolutely.
It amazes. I tell you every year, it amazes me how many people, come up to me and tell me that they're listening. I thought maybe we were speaking to dead air, most of the time.
But not anymore.
People are listening. We're happy to do it. So excited, like I said, that it may be an even bigger audience and bring some new people into lacrosse.
All right. Well, before we get started, I want to tell you about our sponsor. The Ninth State Sports Show is proudly sponsored by Prolax Custom. Since 2018, Prolax Custom Lacrosse of Bedford has been the region's go-to source for boys' stick stringing and custom lacrosse head dyes. Don't settle for a hand-me-down stick or mass-produced factory pocket when you can get a stick dialed in for your position and playing style from Prolax Custom. Whether it's a brand-new stick, a restring of your existing stick, or a full custom dye job to stand out from the crowd, every customer they work with gets one-on-one service and a satisfaction guarantee. With access to every major brand, Prolax Custom is your hometown source for your next stick. Visit them on Instagram or at prolaxcustoms.com. All right. Last week we did our D2 preview. The week before we did our D1 preview. Process of elimination means it's time for the D3 preview.
D3 preview, here we come.
Yes. We'll be, I imagine, a little bit shorter than last week. Last week
a few
was,
less teams.
Few less teams. If you listen carefully, maybe to the end of last week's and maybe all of the end of the D2 ones, we get a little punchy there, towards the end. So, if you listen to that one, thanks for hanging on and listen to it all the way through. If you did, this week we've got, like I said, Division 3 and we'll follow along like we our usual pattern here. We'll start with the defending champs, who are once again, you know, after a few years, they took a few years off from being defending champs. Hopkinton back on top of Division III last year. Their what, fourth title in six seasons played, we'll say, because obviously, you know, one year not being played there, 2020, but they'd won three in a row before that, made the final 2 years ago and lost to Laconia, got back this past year, 2023, and beat Campbell.
Had a pretty long win streak in there, too, as well.
Yeah, there was something like a...
We were on our win streak. They were up there, too.
During that three-year run, yeah they didn't lose. Yeah. They lost one game, I think, to Pelham in that third year. I can't remember. It was like 30, 40 games somewhere in there.
I was
there.
Gonna say it was at least. We'll have to look it up at some point. But yeah, they had a super long win streak, and you know, I'll let you ask the question.
All right. Well, the question, I think, you know, we've talked about some the programs, you know, in Division I and Division II that have been winning championships, and now Hopkinton is in that I would put in that category too. Can we start talking about Hopkinton as the next boys lacrosse dynasty?
You know, in terms of, I think maybe they've already been a dynasty, you know, and now you're just continuing to have a program that, you know, truly is a program, and year after year, you have them in the conversation because, like, it's just trickled down to the youth program. They've had consistent good coaching year after year with Coach Blue there. You know, and I think people come in now, they graduate a group and you're thinking, oh, well, that's it, right? They're done. No, the kids underneath have learned the system and they're ready to step up and go. And, you know, looking at their roster of returning guys, you still see some of the same names, some of the same families, but there are a lot of new names there. But I don't know. I expect them fully to be in the mix again this year. You know, they've got guys at every position ready to go. And, you know, yep, there will be some other contenders, but I can't imagine they won't be, you know, contending there and, you know, continuing on that dynasty.
Yeah, you look at what they've got returning and a lot of the teams I think we've talked about the last 2 weeks that we, you know, you anticipate to be at the top when everything is said and done, or near the top when it's all said and done, are teams that have returners at all levels. And Hopkinton certainly has that, specifically some seniors that, you know, it feels like, every year, they have guys who contribute as underclassmen, but then when they really get to be juniors and seniors, they are just the backbone of that program. And I think it always seems with them seems to start on the defensive side.
I was just going to say, looking at the three guys they've got there listed as seniors.
I guess 1A and 1B for this year really is Cam Bassett and Avery Condon.
Yeah.
You know, two guys that I couldn't tell you how many times they've had the defensive player in the year of the year in Division III. You know, going back to Stephen Reedy last year, Stephen Newton Delgado a couple of years ago, I think maybe pre-COVID was defensive player of the year. You know, maybe these guys could be co-defensive player of the year. I don't know if you take guys from the same team, but those two combined with a senior goalie and Colby Boise, who, you know, came out for lacrosse at the start of last spring and ended up a championship goalie.
I remember at the end of the season, we were doing some research on that, like how long he had been playing. And
right,
it was because
he
was amazing last year. He did a really nice job in the playoffs.
I believe he's also a soccer goalie. So a year under his belt of lacrosse. So, I mean, that's for a core on the defensive side. I mean, that probably doesn't get much better than that.
No, I mean, and that's a great way to start. And I apologize. I should have looked it up before, but I know their faceoff personnel has been working a lot with my Pogo and Logan Purvis, and is going to be, you know, a real weapon for them. Continue to get better, and could be a name that you're going to hear a lot throughout the season here.
I believe is that Ozzie Rosenholm? Does that?
Off the top of my head, I think it does sound like the right guy.
I think he's junior who's back, midfielder. I believe he was their faceoff guy a year ago. They've also got senior Thaddeus Maughan, who's also back on the midfield. And then Shane Smith, who's a sophomore, got a little bit of time. You know, and then the other senior that we haven't mentioned, Patty Buss on attack. He's back along with junior Merrick Chapin. So really a great core you know, again, like we said, at all levels back for the Hawks.
2-3 guys deep at every position. You know, they're going to be a tough team to scout. You know, we've talked in our D2 preview about a lot of teams where, you know, if you want to take away a guy or two, great, but what are you going to do about the rest of the guys? And that's a good problem for Hopkinson to have. It's hard not to think that they're going to be one of the top four teams again and competing for a championship.
You know, it's like we said, I think, last year, you know, as they were going on that late season run into the playoffs, death, taxes, and Hopkinton boys lacrosse. You know, and I think last year, you know, it's – I feel like maybe every team that has one of these kind of runs maybe goes through a stretch like that where, you know, they maybe lose a game or two and you kind of – wonder if they're going to be able to break through, and sure enough they did, and I think if that happens again, certainly I won't be doubting them. I doubt you will be too.
There was a lot of parity last year in Division III, and I think, you know, I think it helps teams where you don't really plateau, right? You don't rest on your laurels and think like, okay, this is as good as we're going to get. It forces you to continue to get better as the season goes on. And then the other thing we've talked about before, too, is that in Division III, a lot of schools take that vacation week off in April, right? So you get out of your rhythm, and then you come back, and sometimes it takes a little while there, and you get some weird scores. And so, you know, to get things sorted out, it may take a little while there.
If you even get in a rhythm at all,
right.
because there's 3 feet of snow on your field on April 8th. Yeah. All right, so – next team up, the runner-up from last year, Campbell. You know, a team that I looked this up here. We're trying to figure out how long has Campbell been a varsity program. Pulled up just random year. 2015 is kind of the year I think of as, you know, we had a lot of changes there, kind of got more into where we are now. They had a varsity program in 2015, so it's been about 9-10 years. But still a newer program.
Newer program, yep.
You know, they've taken kind of steps, it feels like, every year, making the playoffs, getting a playoff win, getting to the semifinals, getting to the final now last year. Are they still, you know, they've lost a lot over the last couple of years, but the cupboard's not bare. Can they make that next step still this year?
You know, I've talked to Coach Knight a lot about this. Like, every program has to go through it, where you've got to build that culture, and you got to be in situations and learn from them. And it stinks because, like, you wonder, are we going to get back there? And they've consistently shown that they have the talent, and they have been getting to the Final Four. And maybe this is the group that it's a strong senior group. There's a lot of seniors here, and a good core of juniors underneath them that, you know, maybe they've taken those lessons from the last couple of playoffs and said, okay, this is what we need to do to kind of break through. They've had great, as we've seen, great examples from Hopkinton there, right? And now maybe this is their turn. I mean, they've got Lucas Craig facing off. They're going to get the ball an awful lot. And not only that, but they've got good midfielders. They've got core attackmen. They've got some really good defenders. Big question mark coming in. You know, they had a long-time goaltender. You know, who, you know, is Will O'Brien ready to step up and fill those shoes and lock down that end of the field there? But again, sometimes when you got a great Fogo, that your offense can be your defense.
Right,
you're going
to
limit the number of shots that he sees, or he's going to ease into that role.
Well, I think, yeah, you when you have a young goaltender like that, I think maybe you want to have the situation that Campbell does. Senior faceoff guy, and you mentioned in Lucas Craig. You know, senior attackman who was offensive player of the year last year, and Andrew Wilness, who's going to have the ball a lot, going to score a lot of goals. If he's not, there's other guys around him who can step up. And then you look at the other end, you've got two guys on defense who are just, you know, a nightmare, I think, to deal with, both on, you know, lacrosse and football, in Nick and Scott Hirschberger, who are both juniors. Which is incredible. Usually when guys get to be seniors and they've been playing for 3 or 4 years, that's when I start to say, feels like these guys have been around forever. These guys are juniors, and it feels like they've been around forever. Very experienced pair. You know, a lot of lacrosse that they've both played. When you have that kind of group around a young goalie, I would assume that that's kind of what you take a lot of pressure off of that guy.
Yeah, and Coach Knight also listed Alex Kirby and Tyson Landry as SSDMs, as seniors that he's really excited about. And there aren't a lot of, you know, even at the D3 level, there are not a lot of teams that list SSD middy, straight SSD middies.
I've seen a lot, not specifically D3, but more coaches this year send in stuff that said,
yeah, giving guys roles. And, you know, so... Yeah, it should be a really strong defense around them, and you know, again, a team that is going to be capable. I feel like the last few years in the regular season, Campbell's offense has just been rolling, right? And then everybody, it's kind of like hitting in baseball, right? You get to the MLB playoffs, right? And you're seeing everybody's best pitchers.
Yep.
The offense becomes a little bit harder. You got to play it. You got to lean on your defense a little bit more. And maybe that's the lesson that Campbell's taken away the last couple of years, is like, hey, we got to have our defense ready to go for the playoffs, because scoring is going to be a little bit harder. We're going to get everybody's best effort. Maybe we're going to see some things defensively against our offense that we didn't see in the regular season, and be a little bit more prepared for that, and not thinking, hey, we're going to win every game by 10 goals once we get to the playoffs. A
couple other guys I want to mention too. You talked about that offense, a guy that really brought a lot of, I think, intensity and fire to Campbell's offense last year, Cruz Sandquist. It's a junior attackman. He's also back. They got three senior midfielders in Wyatt Tarr, Hunter Grant, and Brandon Portillo, who are also back. So certainly a lot of guys to contribute on both sides of the ball for them. So really excited to see what Campbell was able to do. I know they were looking at their schedule too. It was pretty interesting this year. They were supposed to scrimmage Timberlane, I believe, on Thursday, but I'm guessing that's probably not going to happen, unfortunately.
I don't know, Coach Blaskin, man. If they let him out there, he might shovel the field himself.
That's
out there.
a fair thing to say. Thought they also have scheduled a game at Central Catholic later in the year. Thought that was an interesting one, for Campbell to add to their schedule. And And also, I think they started doing this last year, maybe the year before, also stepping up, playing Alvern in D2. So potential there for that extra point we like to talk about come playoff time. So
yeah.
A couple interesting out-of-division games for Campbell as well. All right, question number three, team number three. We'll go with a Final Four team that was the number one seed going into last year's playoffs, kind of in the same boat that Campbell was in 2 years ago. Getting into that Final Four as the undefeated team, and then suffering a heartbreaking loss. And I believe that was an overtime game. Bo lost to Hopkinton. A tough way to have your season end, especially when you're trying to, get things back headed in the right direction. How tough is that to come back from, for a younger program? Or, a program that's got a new coach, trying to start, or a new coach last
year,
trying to get things going.
He did a great job in his first year, right? And rebuilding the confidence of these kids and getting them to believe and take pride in the program again, right? And I think similar to Campbell, like one of the lessons they may have learned, right? They were kind of, their offense was kind of steamrolling people during the regular season, right? And and just making sure that they have options as they get into playoffs when people change things up. What can they do differently offensively to keep that going there? But I mean, they return almost everyone. And, he says right in his preview, they've got several seniors with great game experience and are leading by committee right now. They're going to lean on those guys. They've got an excellent sophomore goaltender in Brad Ekstrom. The McCabe brothers at midfield, I got to think that they would be one of the favorites coming in during the regular season here. I mean, I think if they had won last year, everybody would be picking them again to repeat this year, right? And so, going into the season, I would have them as my favorite going into the season.
Well, you mentioned, the first thing that Coach Calkins put in his email is probably the right thing to say, the right attitude to kind of look at is every season's different.
Yep.
Every team is different. A lot of people are going to look at them and think,
it's a shoe-in.
Of
course they're going to be.
Can they get it done? It is. It's a different team, despite what they did or didn't lose. You can't ever repeat what happened the year before.
They definitely won't sneak up on teams this
year.
Beginning of the season last year, yep, with maybe with the lack of success they had in previous seasons, people might be quite, I think people knew they had some good players, but I don't think teams knew that they were going to be as dominant in the regular season as they were. Definitely not going to sneak up on teams this year, though.
Yeah. You mentioned the McCabes. They're, again, guys that feel like they've been around for a long time. Certainly a lot of experience there. I think, you know, some of the guys that, sorry, I lost my train of thought there. But then you look also at, you know, their attack, a couple of seniors there too, that are coming back, Logan Rain, Brody O'Neill, you know, give them a little bit more scoring depth, I think, there on the offense. And then, a guy who's just a sophomore. You know, you mentioned Ekstrom as their goalie. He's just a sophomore, started as a freshman. Eli Ayers, another guy, sophomore, stepping in on defense, who's going to be key for them as well. And then sophomore midfielder, Sam Bennett, who I think
had a great year as a freshman last year.
Coach is pretty high on as well.
Yeah, very talented kid. You know, and then, you know, it looks like some of the success they had last year maybe got some of the athletes in the school back out. They've got three seniors and a junior coming back out again. You know, that coach's name were not in the rotation last year. So, you know, winning does help to get kids back out again too.
All right. The other Final Four team, from a year ago, that would be your Pelham Pythons. You know, it had been, I think we talked about them, I think, you know, before the lost season there, in 2020, they were a team that was always in contention, a couple of championship game appearances, Final Fours, dropped off a little bit for a couple of years there. And then last year really came back strong. Certainly a team that, you know, that was one to be reckoned with, obviously getting to the Final Four. I believe handed Campbell one of its only two losses during the regular season.
Coach Johnson and Coach Costa have done a really good job of you know, creating a very disciplined, very you know, a tough team to play. They're going to play. Pelham has always played a physical brand of lacrosse, but you know, with Coach Johnson and Coach Costa there now, they're using that physicality and playing disciplined. And you know, there's some really good talent on that team.
Well, one of the few things I've been able to get out and do, it feels like the last 2 weeks, you know, when it hasn't been raining, was I headed over to the Manchester Play for a Purpose Jamboree last weekend. Yep. And had a coach who's not, or, you know, I think Pelham might have been the only D3 team there, and had another coach say to me, I didn't realize how physical they were. I usually wear the more physical team, and they kind of took it to us.
We scrimmaged them the year before, and it definitely was not dirty or anything like that, but they came at it. They were not scared, and they go out there and they play hard every single game. I don't think they're the deepest team in the league this year. I think they're really top heavy in terms of talent. So one of the keys for them is going to be staying healthy this season. But when they're healthy, they've got guys at every position that are going to be that are going to be really difficult to reckon with. And you know, I don't see any reason why they can't be making a run to the Final Four again.
I know who, you know, I think part of that physicalness that we talked about, you know, I see some guys that were also a part of their football team, the championship run that the football team has been on. I just assume those guys are beginning. But who are some of the guys that kind of stand out
to
you on that?
Memphis Patterson, Cam Cook, Bradley Sprague on defense, his brother Matthew Sprague facing off. I mean, he's going to, you know, again, actually, there's some really good face-off guys in the league here this year.
Yeah.
You know, he's another one that, you know, as a freshman went 90% as a freshman in the face-off circle. Incredible there. You know, so they actually, that those are going to be some interesting matchups to watch this year in the face-off circle there. But you know, and then Jacob Chafin in goal for them started as a freshman last year. He's, you know, he's only gotten stronger. You know, they've got, again, not the deepest team, but if they stay healthy, they're going to be really, really good.
Yeah. You mentioned Bradley Sprague leading that defense, but then you also have Diego Sanchez and Mark Wayden, who are both back. You know, a team that's probably going to be pretty tough to score on.
I was really impressed when we scrimmaged them last year. In the little time that Coach Costa had gotten to work with them, they were not getting spread out. They had ones and two slides down. They were physical. They weren't getting beat one on one really that much. You know, they've done a really good job. So I think they could be a sneaky tough team to play this year.
Yeah, and then you know, at the other end on attack, Jason Killian and Mason Frechette back to lead their offense. And as you mentioned, you know, Patterson and Cam Cook. I mean, those four guys right there are. Yeah. I'm. It's. just given their, you know, some of those guys' size, their ability, just I'm it's going to be tough to stop them or stop them on offense and try to score on them. I mean, they there's going to be probably quite a few, I would think, lopsided kind of games for them. Maybe, and maybe in surprising, man, like a team that you think maybe they're going to beat, but they beat them by more just because things are tilted, fields tilted in that one way.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on to team number five. Well, I guess we're kind of just at this point we're just kind of going in random. I, you know, threw these in random order, and I don't necessarily know if we have a question for this one, but just I guess, how good can they really be? Losing, you lose one senior from a year ago, probably going to be pretty good with what you got coming back, and that's the boat that Laconia is in this year. You know, coming off championship 2 years ago, they dipped down a little bit last year, but they bring almost literally almost everybody back. Kind of a boat that you were really in a couple years ago, where you or was that was last year? You'd only lost what, one or two seniors.
They really were not difference makers.
Yeah,
you know, and pretty much brought everyone back. But I was really impressed. Like, I saw some great things out of Laconia during the indoor season there.
Yeah.
You know, some really quick, fast athletes, guys that got their hands free, man, they could rip the ball. So, like we said, there is more than a handful of teams that are going to be able to contend this year. And Laconia, I feel, is definitely one of them. I mean, looking at the list of guys they got returning here, good senior depth, but then, you know, they've done a great job of building the program. There's juniors underneath them and sophomores there, guys, that got good playing time the year before. And then, you know, his coach is listing a bunch of freshmen here that he's really excited about as well.
You know, the guy that I kind of go to first, cause I got a chance to talk to him actually on podcast over the winter was senior Carson Tucker, you know, a attack and midfielder for them. You know, really, thought he was a very
LaSalle commit, I think, right?
LaSalle, yep. Committed to go to LaSalle, played some basketball for Coach McDonough as well. You know, I think coach thinks that he's poised for a very big year for them. JP Harriman, another senior, back on offense, a guy that I feel like has been around for a long time, has a lot of, you know, a lot of skill and ability for them as well. And then, Gavin Ford Stevens, a senior as well. The list is probably too long to go through everybody on here, but I mean, it's
Eli Nato just keep at the throwing, midfield.
Yeah. You know, they always seem to be bringing up a goalie that just is able to stand on his head and keep them in games. Stephen Mingo Timmons was
probably my favorite name in the entire division so far.
Started for him as a sophomore last year and played very well. He's back as a junior. Just the list goes kind of on and on for them. And, you know, it's one of those you expect – they got to expect big things. They got to have high expectations this year, again, given that they have almost everybody back.
Yeah. Going into the season, the more we get into this, the harder it is. Like, I'm glad I'm not doing the preseason predictions that you are.
I'm going to put out bulletin board material for a lot of teams this year.
Right? It's like, we're sitting on team number five here. We're five. They're a Final Four team.
We're five. We're at number five. And
we've already said five teams can make the Final Four.
That are going to win a championship. All five are going to win a championship this year. I agree with you what you said about seeing Laconia during indoor season was when I saw them a lot, and I came away feeling like we did a couple of years ago when they won the championship, thinking this is a team that should be in the mix, if not one of the favorites. But then going through this and looking at what everyone else had, it's like, I feel like I can't say that as definitively.
I was impressed with their team speed and quickness. Like, I didn't necessarily think that they were, and they do, they have good size, but like, I didn't think, like, compared to some of the other teams we've talked about in terms of like big dudes getting off the bus, that didn't jump out to me during indoor season. But man, there were some quick explosive athletes on the field there, and that might be, you know, again, without seeing their full team, that could be, you know, maybe a style of play. They might be a team that wants to get out and run this year a little bit.
All right, so the next two teams, we kind of expect to be competitive and in the mix for playoff spots, obviously, and battling that top five there. But certainly teams that are a little bit younger going into this year, starting with the Plymouth Bobcats. You know, they are young enough, I would say, almost. This is kind of maybe what Laconia was a little bit last year. You know, get everybody that experience, be competitive, be in games, and learn from it to kind of come back and reload next year. Not, you know, but I would still, it's Plymouth. I still
it's
would expect them to be
that, like,
right
they,
there.
They're never, they're, I, in all the time I've known them, they've never been down, I would say. You know, they're always a tough out. Seems like every year they've been above 500. There was one year
I think pre-COVID that they were around there. Maybe they might have missed the playoffs. I can't remember exactly, but there was one year where they weren't competing for a top four seed.
I mean, you want to go way back. I remember when we first came up through in the early 2000s. Like, I want to say it was like 2007 or 2008 or something like that. That was the last time I remember them and us being below 500 at the end of the season there. But always great athletes. They get I remember one year they had a kid that was playing attack for them that played both baseball and lacrosse in the same season. I don't know how he ever practiced, but like, and he was really good.
I don't think they allow you to do that anymore. I don't think you can do that.
Hey man, the AD, as long as you clear with the AD, you can do whatever you want. But you know, I can't imagine they're not going to have. I think you're right. I think it's a younger team this year that, hey man, if they can get some confidence going, you know, nothing but it's all gravy at that point, right? Like,
right.
they're playing for let's see what we can do this year, and then with what they have returning the year after that, I think it's a team we're going to be talking about come this time next year, as a contender for the championship.
A team with just two seniors, both midfielders, Lincoln Manson and AJ Doby. You know, they also got a couple of solid juniors, and Ryan Killian on defense and Luke Legacy at midfield, Nolan Galvin at attack. And then the, you know, name that I just saw down here that kind of stands out to me, of course, we talked about them a few years ago with they had probably one of the most athletic guys you'll ever see as a goalie now I'm blanking on his name, Jake Marcoux, just was a phenomenal goalie who seemed to get to everything wherever it was all over the place. They've got a guy now in goal, if I'm remembering correctly, who's maybe is a great athlete, but not nearly in the same way, in Robbie Thorne, who's a junior, who was I don't know what, you know, where, what position he exactly was in the backfield there for the football team, but I'd probably guess he was a fullback because he's a very large guy, hits the hole pretty hard in football, a big guy in goal,
gonna make shooters think about where they're putting the ball.
Probably not a lot of space to shoot at, and if he moves like he did in football, then probably going to get to a lot
less.
Of stuff. Yeah. So that's kind of exciting to see there. I'm not sure if he was, it looks like he was their starter last year, in goal. So again, I probably a year that to build up kind of that excitement for Plymouth and anything that they can do this year, I would think is, got to be icing on the cake.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, it'll be a team again. I don't know that we're going to truly know their full capabilities until probably after April break there. Again, a northern team that, you know, doesn't correct me if I'm wrong, but they still don't have turf.
Oh no,
right?
No.
Yeah.
So they barely have bleachers.
Come on now. They're not that far north. Come on. I played up there.
They do have some bleachers. The press box looks a little bit like the press box looks a little bit like a log cabin.
That's perfect for you.
I prefer to be on the ground as opposed to up in in those kind of structures. But yeah, you know, their first couple of games, you know, they're home to Stevens, at Brady, at Milford. Maybe they are able to come down and play that game at Milford, you know, assuming that their field dries out. But those other two games, probably
it's
looking
tough at
getting them postponed. They're on the road a little bit to start the year, so that might help. And playing a couple of teams down here in the southern part of the state. So that could be a little
bit of
a boost.
It'll be fun to see how this team develops and how those young kids come together.
Yeah. And then the other team that is kind of in that boat, definitely not rebuilding, but more like reloading. You know, we expect them to be good, but maybe next year is really the year that they're going to, you know, bounce back up. And that's Coe Brown. You know, another team like Bo that came down from Division II last year, you know, was a playoff team, and then had a kind of a heartbreaking loss to Bishop Brady in the opening round of the playoffs. But they lost, what, a dozen seniors, I think, from a year ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Graduated 12 returning seniors.
Yeah, and then returning starters. Is that kind of a, you know, when you have a loss like that and you probably want to forget it and move on, is that a good thing that you're kind of rebooting things there?
I think for the kids, absolutely. You know, as a coaching staff, you kind of got to let that go and get over it and realize, okay, we're going to learn from where we were. And coaches, he's done a really good job of that. And he's clearly built a program there. He's got, you know, that's a team that I watched a lot indoors there. And they do have some talent. They do have some firepower.
They've got some size, too.
They have some size. They've got a good goaltender. You know, I actually think they're not as far away as people think they are. Like, I think they've created a good base underneath them, and I think they're going to be a team that, if teams aren't paying attention, they are going to surprise a lot of people this year, because I liked what I saw indoor out of them.
And you know, they're going to be, you know, we talked about they lost 12 seniors from a year ago. Opposite boat probably for next year. Looks like just two seniors on the roster this season, that being midfielders Ryan Mattson and Tully Keefe. A lot of freshmen coming in, too. So kind of, again, opportunity.
But skilled freshmen. Yeah. They've got a lot of guys playing in the club, in club programs now. Their youth program is really good. I think you're going to see that for them, they are going to have success. And I think some of those younger kids aren't, because they're playing in those programs, are not going to be scared to step in and have big roles and have expectations played on them, put on them right away. And maybe it helps that they're flying a little bit under the radar, right? Maybe they're not feeling that pressure right away there. But I do like the fact that they've got two seniors and a junior at the midfield there, kind of holding things down. They've got a junior in net. They've got a sophomore with some experience coming back on attack. So, you know, again, the cupboard's not bare, and I think they're going to be, you know, they're clearly in that mix for a good playoff spot and maybe making a run at some things.
Yeah, it's Jack Mattson, the junior, yep, there in goal. Yeah, so there's something to build off of.
Absolutely.
It just may take, again, another team that, you know, once they get shoveled out and you know, fields are cleared and everybody can get on the same page. Again, we're looking at maybe after everybody gets back from break, seeing the Bears get rolling you know, once we get back from that. Well, the team that handed them that playoff loss, Bishop Brady, you know, a program that, you know, you never know, I think, what their numbers are going to look like, where their kids are going to come from. It seems like, you know, just when you think that they're starting to turn the corner, they have a couple kids that end up, you know, transferring out. I know that's happened the last couple of years, unfortunately, to the Giants. But this year sounds like they've got maybe more kids than they expected with 26?
We did the math, probably close to a quarter of the boys in the school.
Sure,
right now. Like, yeah, they've done a really good job. Coach has done a really good job of you know, again, building the foundation and getting guys to come out. And, you know, it seems like, at least in terms of numbers, has really shored up, you know, every single position there, so they do have good depth going into the season.
Yeah, you have and that's kind of the question with them, is how much does a playoff win like they had last year when you upset a team like Coe Brown in the playoffs? Clearly it helps, you know, getting those kind of numbers out, you know, and they've got, you know, they may not be as strong in some spots as they were a year ago. They do have to replace quite a few guys. But I think, you know, you look at, you know, that back end, you know, coach's son, Josh Lamparelli, there on defense. He's a senior. Evan Dow, another senior,
yep,
on defense. Both captains. You know, Roman Shetpa is another senior who's an SSDM, another one of those thrown out there. You know, and then they've got a couple other senior Ben Abramowicz, also at midfield, and then a couple attack coming back, Alex King and Joey Richard, a sophomore who if I'm not mistaken, he wasn't their leading scorer. He was one of their leading scorers last year as a freshman.
Yeah, you know, I think for them the big question mark, and it was one kind of last year too, is, you know, what does the goaltending situation look like, right? But again, if they have a strong defense in front and they've got a good Fogo there, then they'll be okay. But I know that was one thing that coach was working with a lot last year, is developing his goaltenders and you know, making sure that position, and that's tough when you don't have experience there. But 26 guys coming out, that's a great start.
You know, the probably one of the guys that's going to have a big shoes to fill would be at faceoffs. Tucker Townsend was a you know, one of the better faceoff guys in the division last year. Jason Doyle stepping in to fill that role.
And that's one of those things, like when you have a good faceoff guy in your program, right, it starts to just build upon itself. And I can't imagine that those two guys didn't do a lot of work together last year. And there might be a little drop off there, but I can't imagine it's going to be, you know, dramatic. And I think that that's something that'll keep them in a lot of games there and keep teams from going on big runs on them.
All right. Well, the next team is one that, as we were talking here before we started, we're both kind of like, "Hey, this program's actually won a couple of playoff games the last year. It's just hasn't been able to get over that hump when they get into the quarterfinals." That's Guilford, who's been in the opening round of the playoffs the last 2 years, and pulled off wins 2 years ago against Kearsarge, last year against Trinity. Just haven't been able to get over that quarterfinal hump, get into the semis. You know, is that a program that can take that next step?
I think they can. It's just always going to be tough, right? Just, I mean, just by location and
after what we just, you know, the teams that we just rattled
off. I
know,
all the teams that we rattled off. Like, I think it's not an impossible task, but it's going to be a tall task for them. They always have really good athletes. I mean, you think about all the other sports that they're good in, right? They, you know, soccer, basketball, football. They have a lot of kids that'll be multi-sport athletes and can help them. It's just, you know, they don't have as much access to year-round lacrosse as a lot of these other Southern schools do. And again, being up in Guilford, right? I mean, you know, I don't know how much they've been out on a field right now, right? And you know, if you're in a gym, if you're in a parking lot, it slows your ability to get into the season. Really amazing what they have been able to do given you know, what they've had to work with the last couple seasons there.
Two guys from them to keep an eye on, senior attack Tristan Reinhold, you know, has been their leader on offense I think for a couple years now and should be again this season. And then junior LSM Evan Guerin, Coach Rob's called him a ground ball machine, certainly a good guy to have, especially as you said, you know, as you're still working out the skills there early on, and you need someone that can pick up some ground balls.
You know, we were kind of joking about it earlier with, you know, Plymouth Field and everything like that. But I remember when we were in Division III, I enjoyed going to a lot of these like really unique locations for fields, and just the, like, sort of everybody has sort of quirky home field advantages and different things that you go to. A lot of different grass fields that you had to prepare for because the bounces were going to be kind of different and weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Guilford's one of those fields where it's not necessarily right at their high school, right? It's out. I think there's a airport right near it, you know, and kind of out in the middle of a cornfield isn't the right word, but like, you know, like a farm field. And you know, there's some really cool locations out there. I used to like going out to Guilford and Plymouth and some of these places. I don't know if you like. I do a lot of travel for you.
That's a lot of travel.
Some cool places.
I remember. I feel like this comes up at some point every year, so why not bring it up now? Was that game you guys played at Hollis Brookline back when both of you were in D3? I think it might have been the last lacrosse game they ever allowed them to play on the football field.
Oh yeah,
because
I do
you guys
that, yes.
just destroyed. It was a gross, wet, rainy day.
Yes, that's right.
And
I remember
like
that.
Both creases just got turned into mud pits. I remember that very clearly, and remember that probably being the last game that was on that football field.
I think that was 2010. I want to say
wasn't that long ago?
I
don't think it was that long ago. It was Who was the coach there before Mike Soucy? I'm drawing a blank. I can picture him, and I can't think of his. I can't think of his name.
He moved out to Albany. I remember. Yes, I'm blanking on it too right now. But all right,
it
so
was the coach.
It was, more...
it was the coach in between Coach Soucy and Coach Sousa. I can't.
I'm blanking on it too, but I can.
Yeah,
I
you know
can
who
visualize
you know
his face
about.
Right
yes.
now.
So I, that was yeah. like mid 20. Like 2012, 2013, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Anyway, right. That's completely off topic.
Instead they moved it to instead we would
the
have
little
to play,
tiny
right,
field,
the little
at
tiny
the,
field
yeah,
that
was at the bottom of the hill
every year.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. Well,
now
they got
a beautiful
a nice,
field
now. Yeah.
Beautiful
I was just
turf field
I was
now.
Just up there last week. They scrimmaged Merrimack, and was up there on that field, and it's just as amazing
fantastic
as it was. Yeah. Yeah. Getting back to Guilford, got a couple of freshmen coming in the program too that you know, kind of give it some not just some depth, but also guys that are hopefully going to contribute perhaps this year for them. So next up, let's look at talk about Interlakes Moultonboro, a team that was in the hunt for a playoff spot right up until the end of the regular season. They played actually Bishop Brady late in the year, and I believe the winner of that game. You know, Brady ended up winning the game and got the playoff spot. And I think if the Lakers had won, they'd have gotten that playoff spot instead. You know, they're a program that I feel like we've talked about in the past. Just they're in a tough spot because, yeah, there are other northern teams too, but they're northern teams that are a little bit more established programs. They're a little bit of a newer one. And it feels like a lot of times they get a good guy coming in and one of the prep schools around there right. ends up plucking him. How tough is it going to be for Coach Hurley to... it sounds like he's building on some success from last year and got some guys out, but how tough do you think that's going to be to keep that going?
Well, I mean, I think he's doing the right thing. He talks about in his preview of, you know, he's got some good athletes coming out to the program, and when you're first starting and trying to establish that culture, right, you need the best athletes from your other sports to come out and play and contribute and try and figure, you know, help figure out how to win, right? Because maybe they're coming from programs and other sports that do have that winning culture and that carries over there. And so, you know, but then, you know, in terms of his expertise, I mean, there's no one better to help lead a program there. It comes from, you know, a great program, and Bishop Girton had a lot of success in his playing career. You know, he's gonna coach these guys up, and they'll be a tough out. But it is tough when I think also they've struggled with getting the town program established. I think they had a good town program, and then I think it maybe wasn't being funded the way that you know that they needed to be funded. And now I think that's a battle that Coach Hurley's trying to help there is get some coaches, get some funding in there, and make sure that the youth players are getting good coaching.
You know, the thing looking over what they've got returning is another thing we talked about again with some of these other teams. They've got returning players at multiple spots on the field, multiple levels. You know, whether it's at attack, they've got, you know, junior Ryan Brown, senior Noah Salamanca, midfield Lincoln Ferrant, Braden Arruda, both seniors. You know, they got a sophomore LSM back in Wyatt Burnham. And then on defense, Garrett Hayward, a junior, and O'Brien Murray, a sophomore. You know, so it's at every level, they've got somebody. Just not sure what the situation is in goal.
Right. But yeah, I mean, they seem like their numbers are really good, and they've got some athletes coming out. So again, they'll be a team to kind of watch as the season progresses there to see if they can make a run towards. I mean, that was their goal, right? Win more games than last year, get in the playoffs, and see if you can make some noise.
It sounds like a simple goal, but really it's
every
very
well
yeah.
little building blocks
yeah,
every year.
Exactly.
Simple goal, like and continue to move the program forward.
So two more teams that we're going to touch on here, both in positions that I think maybe we were both kind of pleasantly surprised to hear. Coaching changes at both Kearsarge and Stevens, new coaches stepping in there. But for both programs, also increased numbers. You know, Kearsarge is going into this year with 46 kids that came out for lacrosse, which is, I mean, that's incredible for a D3 program. And then, you know, Stevens, a new coach there, you know, they've got, I think, over 30 kids in their program.
Which is great to
yeah,
hear.
Yeah.
Because that's another program in Stevens that kind of Claremont, where they're located, a little bit isolated. Not, I mean, it's a pretty big town, but like it's not necessarily easy to get to. And it's not easy for those kids to then, you know, the younger kids to then play in some of the, you know, spring and town leagues around there. So it's hard to build up those numbers. So it's great to see that that is happening up there. Kearsarge doesn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, back in the day, I'm telling you, Kearsarge and Laconia were two. When we came into Division III, Kearsarge and Laconia were like the pinnacle. Like if you were able to beat one of them, you were having a great year, and their numbers were always there. So it's great to see, you know, Kearsarge back. They always had a great town program. And so maybe that's, I know, actually our middle school teams have played each other the last couple of years, and they do a great job of searching out and finding games for those kids. So seems like maybe that feeder program is back on the rise again there. And clearly with 46 guys, that's a good sign.
Yeah. Hopefully, get a little bit of coaching stability too. Chris Boucher takes over that program this year. I know they've had, I want to say, like three or four coaches, you know, in the last handful of years. So hopefully a little bit stability there. And then same with Stevens. You know, you've got a new coach coming in there in Scott Christian. But like we said, he's taken over a program that sounds like it's going to have some somewhat decent numbers. You know, a couple of seniors back, or actually it looks like a handful of seniors back for them. You know, so that's, you know, certainly something that, you know, just go out there and kind of do the, you know, what you can this year. I mean, that's a program that has nowhere to go but up.
Absolutely.
So hopefully that's something that they'll do this year.
You know, Kearsarge too, I think, you know, he's not listed on there, but I know, you know, friend of the program and former head coach, Sean O'Brien of Merrimack Valley and Pembroke. He's been reaching out to me for some drills and different things. He's been helping them out a little bit too, doing some goalie work with them, helping them with practices and things like that. So it sounds like, you know, a pretty strong, with 46 kids, they probably need all the coaches they can get up there to help with that up there. But, you know, Sean's been up with them, so good strong coaching staff with them. Probably a team to kind of keep an eye on there with those kind of numbers. Like it'll be interesting to see what they can do this season there. Might throw a monkey wrench into some of the standings and
kind of
things, you know, what teams have plans. You know, the more we keep talking about this, I'm like, man, are there any easy games in Division III this year?
Who knows? Well, we do have three teams that we don't know as much about. Milford, Lebanon, and Trinity, both.
I mean, I know with Milford, Coach Erta every year, right, you're going to get consistent, good coaching. They're going to be disciplined. They're going to be tough. You're going to have multi-sport athletes there year after year. You know, they consistently put out, you know, a good product there. You know, that's a team, again, you know, that are they able to get over the hump? We've, you know, for a couple of years there, especially right before COVID, I think we were talking about, you know, they had some good momentum and were, you know, making a playoff push there. You know, do they kind of get back to that this year?
And then, you know, Trinity has been a pretty competitive program. I know there's been some you know, changes.
Coach Martinez back. And, yeah. We thought maybe Coach was stepping aside, but he's graciously stepped back in again there, and we're excited to have him back as a coach for them. You know, he's done a great job. He always gets the most, you know, very, very good soccer coach. I think he's just a good coach in general, and always gets the most out of his kids there. Has led them to championships and you know, again, to probably, you know, team that you're not gonna overlook as you head into the season.
And then Lebanon, a new coaching staff in there this year as well, and they've been a program, I think, that maybe a little bit like Guilford, Kearsarge, been on the cusp of some things, but just whatever reason hasn't been able to kind of break through.
Yep. And but I mean, going into the season this year, as we've talked about through all these programs here, I got to think, you know, no matter where you are going into the season, you got to have a lot of hope that and optimism that, you know, this could be our year. If nothing else, like, hey, we got a shot to go deep in the playoffs.
All right. Well, one more thing I want to mention before we wrap up for this week, and I didn't come up with any clever way to say this, but hey, did you know that the championship games are going to be held in different places at the same time this year, on the same date this year? In case that was the first you had heard that, well, now you know. So I just got to make sure I get that in, that keep my promise to keep hammering away at that every week. I apologize that I wasn't able to do it more creatively this week, but there you go.
Okay.
Any other final thoughts, Coach, before we go for this week?
Yeah, I do. I want to give a quick shout-out to Vermont State University. I had their AD and coach reach out to me today. They are rebuilding their program. They are looking for 2024s that still don't have a home. They're looking for 2025s. A lot of optimism, a lot of excitement up there. If you get a chance, you know, go to their college website, check things out. Vermont State University. You know, they're going to be reaching out to coaches. So if there are lacrosse players out there that are still looking for a home, looking for a good program to kind of, you know, get into right away and maybe get some playing time early in your career, give them a quick check out this week.
All right. Sounds good. Hopefully when we do this next week, it's a little bit warmer, a little bit drier.
I was going to say
out.
The weather up there can't be any worse than it
is
here.
Yeah, so. It's probably a lot worse.
I don't know.
All right. I think that'll do it for this week. Previews are done. We start for real next Monday. I can't wait.
It's going to be great. Yeah. Ready to go. Yeah. It'll be here before we know. Whether we're ready for it or not, opening week is next week. And, you know, the teams, if nothing else, teams will continue to improve as we go along.
Keep an eye out. Written previews will be up on the site. Division 1 on Thursday, Division 2 on Friday, 3 on Saturday, boys and girls. The preseason All-State watch lists will be up on Sunday, and then Monday we will have our first coaches' polls, preseason coaches' polls. So keep an eye out for all that fun stuff. I keep thinking of things as we're trying to wrap up here. You didn't even ask me this week that was finally out there that the season.
That's Bedford, right. Bedford. Big announcement. Breaking news this week.
Yeah. So that'll be the first episode of that'll be out on Wednesday of next week.
Fantastic. I think that's going to be a fun watch this year, just kind of seeing, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of optimism in that program and just the growth that it's undergone under Coach Boudreau. And so it'll be a fun ride this spring, I think, with them.
All right, for real, we're going to wrap up now. He is Chris Hettler, Derryfield Boys lacrosse coach and AD. Chris, thanks again for doing this.
Absolutely, Joel. We'll see you next week.
I'm Joe Marcellina. Everybody stay warm and enjoy the first day.